Hi, I'm Stephanie Strange. Want to hear something scary?
Bunny Man Killer. Halloween is a time for spooky treats and harmless tricks. But some people take it too far, leaving someone else to pick up the pieces. Halloween night is typically filled with fun costumes, tricks, and treats. That wasn't the case where I grew up in Fairfax, Virginia. There, everyone was told to stay indoors on Halloween night. You wouldn't want to encounter the Bunny Man. In 1970, an infamous asylum escapee, Douglas J. Griffin, had slaughtered and eaten bunnies to survive. He then hung their skins along with what is now too referred as the Bunny Man Bridge. One Halloween night, he did the same thing to children. Anyone who crosses a bridge at that night on the 31st of October could be next. At least that's how the story goes. But there was no way Melissa, Alec, and I were going to miss the fraternity party. Not an option. Once Melissa and I had perfected our witchy makeup, we called for Alec. I wasn't impressed to see he was just in regular jeans and a plaid shirt. But then he had a final piece of the costume, a plastic bunny mask. His red hair sticking out around it. In Fairfax, bunny costumes are considered off-limits. But Alec ignored this, claiming his costume was perfect for that time of year. He hurried us out the door and we began to walk over to the party. The frat house wasn't far away, but it was on the other side of the Bunny Man Bridge. When we reached to the dreaded landmark, Mel paused. It was creepy, especially at night with only our phones to light the way. The bridge had stark white cement walls with no escape options. Also strange is that it looked like a rabbit hole, the darkness making under the underpass look like a warren. But what was really unsettling to myself and Mel was the legend. Was it true? "The only bunny man around here is me," Alex said, laughing. We pressed on, eyes peeled in every direction, trying to concentrate on the fun we'd have at the party. It was oddly silent. No chirping crickets, no soft hoot of an owl, just dredging through the grass path, the quiet echo of the infamous bridge above us. It was almost silent and peaceful. We practically made it through when, oof, I tripped over a squishy lump on the ground. I looked down and screamed. It was a bunny, a dead, mutilated bunny with fresh bloodstains on its fur. Melissa rushed over to hug me. We heard a rustling sound in the bushes. Alex swore and stormed off after the noise. Melissa called out to him. She didn't want us to split up, but as usual, Alec was calling the shots. "Just stay there," he ordered. "I'm going to beat the crap out of anyone who did this." He disappeared into the thicket, leaving us alone. I closed my eyes, leaning into Mel and away from the carnage strewn across the ground. Waiting for Alec felt like an eternity. We didn't talk, just huddled together. I could feel the nervous shivers running through our bodies. Something jumped out from the bushes. Melissa screeched. I whipped around, not knowing what I'd find, and immediately felt relief as I came face to face with Alec, who was wearing the bunny mask still. "Alec, you scared me." I punched his shoulder. Melissa shrugged and asked if he found anything, but he shook his head no. I grabbed his arm, yanking him forward. I just wanted to get to the party and away from here. We hustled down the path again toward the frat house. None of us spoke a word. I think we were all too shooken up. Then, Melissa froze in her tracks, staring at the ground. I gasped. "Please, not another bunny." The stench of blood lingered through the air. Bile rose up my throat as the scene came into focus. Blood coated the grass, and a wave of nausea ran through me as I saw a severed human finger. And just a bit further was a lump with a plaid shirt and red hair. "Alec, the bodies belonged to Alec." My legs buckled and I stumbled. As horrific as the sight was, there was even a worse predicament upon us. I spun around to face the third member of our party. The person we thought was Alec. This time, Sola's eyes stared right back at me from behind the mask.
Run!
The bunny man whispered. He was holding an axe. I grabbed Melissa's arm, yanked her forward, and we ran into the thicket. Melissa was pointing toward the sky. She could see the light from the fraternity house. We were almost there, just a little bit further, and no! Melissa's hand was yanked from me. I slammed into a tree, knocking the wind out of myself momentarily, before I spun back around to grab Melissa. Something wet splattered across my cheeks. Melissa's body crumbled to the floor. I fought to stay conscious, hearing music in the distance. The party wasn't far, but as I stared into my best friend's unseen gaze, I couldn't find the strength to run anymore. The next morning, three bodies were discovered just a quarter mile from Bradley, Michigan's frat house. Their murder was never found, but the Fairfax residents knew who was to blame. The scattered pieces of rabbit surrounding the bodies told them enough. There is a reason you don't go out on Halloween if you live in this particular part of town. The bunny man had struck again.
Hello, my strangelings. I wanted to talk about something very important, which is your mental health. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp Therapy Online. Unfortunately, life doesn't come with a user manual. It'd be nice if it did. So when it's not working for you, it's normal to feel stuck. Luckily, therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause of challenging emotions and learn productive coping skills. BetterHelp has connected with over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient, secure, and accessible anywhere. And it's 100% online. Just know that everyone deserves to feel their best. BetterHelp makes it easier to get started. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime, anywhere. I mean, it's very simple. So, get unstuck with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/scary. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/scary. So, you know, if you need help, definitely make sure you check this out. For true fans of true crime, the Generation Y podcast is essential for listening. Hosts Aaron and Justin started this podcast in 2012 to dissect some of the craziest and most notable murders, crimes, and conspiracy theories together. And 10 years later, they're still at it, unraveling a new case each week. Aaron and Justin take on an infamous cases like the Evil Genius bank robbery, the Zodiac Killer, and the Tylenol murders. They also cover lesser known cases like Kimberly Hariko, aka the Valentine Murder, where Kim takes her husband on a romantic weekend that includes a murder mystery play that she, of course, uses as a cover to murder him for insurance money. The two go over every angle, breaking down theories, diving deep into forensic evidence, and interviewing those close to the case. And honestly, it feels like you're in the room with them while they get into it. So, follow the Generation Y podcast on Amazon Music, or listen early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus on Apple Podcasts or the Wondering app.
Thanks so much for listening. Like and share if this video gave you the chills. And don't forget to subscribe and turn on the bell for notifications. And did you know you can listen to Something Scary podcast right here on Snarled or on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts? And if you'd like to submit a story, send me an email at somethingscary@snarled.com. Thanks so much and see you next time.